Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Close Up. I'm your host, Joe.
And I'm Justin.
Today, we're talking about Zootopia 2, Disney's newest animated movie in theaters. Now, probably, by the time this comes out. I hope it still is. We're sometimes late on this show, but not usually that.
Like, gone by it, yeah.
Then again, movies are leaving theaters early all the time now.
It'll be on streaming, probably.
Yeah, probably. You're either going to catch it right before it leaves theaters at this point, or right before it hits streaming.
Even though we just saw it literally last week.
Yeah, we're right in the middle here. So anyway, what's your history with the Zootopia franchise?
Being
the first one, really.
Watched the first movie and thought it was cool and it was good.
I did not until last week, just before this movie came out, because I was going through a period of my life in the mid-2010s where I wasn't really watching new animated movies at the time. I guess I was just too cool for it as a teenager.
Well, you murdered your inner child.
Yes, that was around the period where I just was trying to kill my inner child.
Murdered your inner child.
Yeah, trying to become an adult. Now I'm going back the other way. I'm trying to re-embrace inner child elements of myself. And yeah, I really liked the first Zootopia. It was pretty cutting edge at the time, I'd imagine. The themes of it were definitely more surprising, actually, for how well they spoke to adults. And I'm like, would kids even get any of this? Even when we were going to the theater the other week, most of the audience were adults.
Actually, I feel like they knew that. I feel like they knew that because, like, yeah, it's appropriate for kids, but I think they knew that most of the crowd that would be coming to it would be older, like, people who watched the original. Like, it was we caught the tail end of it. Like, it was still kind of aimed to us when, what, we were, like, 16?
Yeah, we were 17 or so when it came out. We're 27 now. Hmm. Kids who were 7 when it came out would be about 17 now. So either way, you're playing to late teenagers or people who were pushing 30 at this point. So I guess that's one. The sequel had to keep that in mind. They're playing to a slightly older crowd. I don't think there's many 7-year-olds going to see this now. No. Unless I underestimate parents just taking their kids to a random sequel.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's possible. But let's get into our close-up and talk about Zootopia 2. Full spoilers for this movie. So, in a nutshell, I think that Zootopia's world is excellently expanded here with stellar presentation, yet its length and many of its new characters grated on my patience.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think it did a really good job of expanding the world. I was a little disappointed that they kind of relegated a lot of the other side characters from the first one to be more like I don't know, side characters.
Yeah.
Not even a side character. They're like
cameos, nearly.
It's like a cameo, and then they brought in some new side characters that were. Yeah, I would agree. They're not. I don't know. I'm not super particular about them, but
the side characters are basically what brought down this movie a whole ranking for me. Mm. Because, in a nutshell, the new characters they brought in, with I'd say the exception of Ki Hai Kwan's Gary, were one-note jokes expanded into recurring characters.
Yeah.
The other characters from Zootopia 1, they were recurring jokes as well, but they had a bit more depth to them. Most of the characters in this movie are just, they're just one thing that repeats. I think about the beaver conspiracy theorist off the top of my head, where I'm like, that's her one thing.
That's it, yeah.
And she shows up a lot in the movie, but she never really expands beyond this is your one thing.
Like, you can describe the character that fast that it's like, okay, beaver conspiracy theorist, done.
Or the main villains, the Linksleys, I'm like, okay, their whole thing is I'm trying to get the book. And that's it. Or Patrick Warburton's former action hero mayor character. I'm like, okay, so he's like the cover of a romance novel, a guy who beats people up and he's kind of a coward in real life.
Mm.
his character never really grew beyond that, besides when he finally got a chance at the end to stand up for himself and his city. But it's characters like that who were just, okay, you're one joke. You're not really a character, you're a joke. And if I didn't love the joke to begin with,
Then they become kind of grating, yeah.
Yeah. So I found a lot of them kind of funny one time, or maybe for a couple of scenes, and then they were just in it the whole time. As you said, at the expense of characters from the last movie, I wanted to see more Clawhauser or Bogo.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, oh, Zeros were another gag, which is like funny, but they're in it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I heard more Zeros up top than than Clawhauser got. Any of those characters.
Well, what I do think they did well in the movie, though, is the leads were done extremely well. I thought,
yeah,
for a movie where I sat there, I'm like, oh, they're doing a sequel. How are they going to do a sequel? What is it even going to be about? Like, the first one wrapped up so well that it's like, how are they going to do a sequel? And I was impressed that they actually found room to do a sequel. I do think they backpedaled the characters a little bit.
A little.
But that's why I'm like, well, for a sequel to a movie that I didn't think they could really, like, they could do a sequel, but I didn't think they could do a good sequel to, I think they did pretty well for creating a new plot for the character, like the two leads.
I think what worked about it is that they focused on different elements than the first one did. The first Zootopia is more about, well, race relations, effectively. It's, mm-hmm, can a fox and a bunny work together, and this bunny who's effectively in a DEI program, can she prove herself to the establishment that a bunny belongs in law enforcement? And so it's more about this need to prove themselves to each other and to the establishment. Whereas this one is more about their struggles with emotional vulnerability and insecurity and having to actually be each other's partners in a way where I can lean on you, I can rely on you, I can be vulnerable with you in a way that helps prop me up and you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the core difference is, like, it's their situations are very similar. They're both still the underdog story trying to prove themselves, but they're more trying to prove themselves to each other this time, but also open up more.
Yeah, I guess so.
Which they both struggle with.
I just think their ability to communicate and work together had to be backpedaled a little bit to make this story work.
Yes, because the driving theme of it is
They're not working together very well. But that was kind of what they overcame in the first one. So I was like, it seems like a bit of a backpedal, but whatever, I'll ignore it.
I can be okay with that backpedal, only considering that this story takes place basically right after the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So you could say, okay, well, they figured stuff out, but in such a short time span, would it stick? Not necessarily.
Yeah.
People in real life have cathartic moments all the time with people. Does it last 100% till the next day? Sometimes.
I think it's one of those things where it's like spacing the movie out, like the release was so long ago that it's like, yeah, you kind of can backpedal the characters because people forget.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, these movies might not work as well if you watch them back to back.
Which I effectively did.
Yeah, that's basically what you did. So,
and I feel like I'm more in the camp that I don't love it as much as some people seem to.
Mm.
I think it's very technically well made. I think the animation is stellar, and we'll probably go into that a little more in depth. But I tend to rank it lower than the first one, having watched them back to back. And maybe that's just because it's not as fresh in terms of creativity to me. I'm like, okay, well, I just saw a version of this, which was really new to me and really cool. And then I see, okay, it's a sequel.
Yeah.
It's expanding it.
The same thing, but different.
So it just kind of, when I watched it, it kind of felt like, okay, I'm just watching a sequel to this thing. I don't feel like it's as groundbreaking to me. It's just a really competent sequel. And that's about that's pretty much how I feel. It's just a really competent sequel. It didn't surprise me in the same way.
Well, I think one of the major differences I would say is the first one was an investigation. This one was follow the snake.
Right.
Like, they did a bit of it. I think that's where it started going down, is after they're like, oh, we're going to follow the snake. Basically, after they kind of catch the snake at the on the chandelier.
Yes.
I'm like, that's where my interest sort of started going down, was because I was like, okay, this is cool. They're doing an investigation. And then all the investigation just kind of ended. Like, they wasn't like.
And it picked up again in the third act when they found the snake town and were, you know, piecing everything together and we're finally on the chase. But it's mostly the second act of this movie. I think so.
I think it dragged.
To me, the second act of this movie goes from the chandelier till after the young Lingsley says he's a bad guy and betrays them, and they have that whole scene on the wall with the snake poison. So once they're actually.
I'd say before they get into the wall is where I would say the third act starts.
Yeah, because I feel like the third act dragged for... In that case, I think the wall dragged for a while, and then after the wall, it's like an energy shot of adrenaline came into the movie again. And it was just like, okay, we're going.
I thought the wall section was done pretty well. It was pretty...
It was done well. I just felt like it was dragging out.
The pacing was different. It was... slower. They went for an intensity to it, and I kind of liked that, but I think this movie maybe ran too long, and that might have been but I think that's because
it killed momentum. It was a good scene in isolation, but it killed the momentum.
Well, I think the problem was if that should have been where the end was, if you wanted to do that, you wanted to end with the intensity, then it should have been the epilogue comes after that. That should have been the end. But there was a whole another section after that to go back to the town and, you know, race to the town. I'm like, okay, if, you know, to make it more condensed, I would have said that that's where it felt like it was proceeding to a natural ending. You know, the bad guy was beaten, whatever. And then it was like, oh, he's back for round two, basically. And you're like, you're dragging out the runtime, I think.
It's like we got two climaxes nearly.
Yeah.
Two climaxes and falling actions.
Mm-hmm.
And you really only needed one. Most movies only do one. But the action and animation were just as good as the first one.
I think it was even better.
I would agree.
I mean, I guess that's technology advancing and stuff, but I don't know. It was very... This was a Disney movie, right?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, I'm going to retract my statement because I think I was thinking about Pixar. I was going to compare to Pixar's animation that's not been stellar lately, but then I was like, that's not the same studio.
I do think this Disney animation is trying to push things forward. I feel actual creative energy going into the designs and the making of this. Whereas the last few Pixar films I've seen feel like we're just kind of coasting on our good name and just business as usual. Like, hey, we're Pixar. We're good. What do we have to innovate for? Whereas this feels like there's actual passion behind it.
Yeah, it felt like they were actually trying.
Yeah. I love the visual gags, especially. Like, one of the early ones that I wrote down just because I thought it was so funny was like, when they were doing the car chase and they rolled a porcupine along the road as tire spikes. And I'm like, okay, well, that's what Zootopia does so well, is takes real things from our world and makes animal equivalents to them. Stuff like that was so funny. The other one that I laughed out loud at was when they were in the marsh and they were getting chased by the hippo cops. And then they are following the snake and they run up onto the docks, and then the hippo cops smash the docks down and all the apples start falling into the... Yeah. It was like a two-second shot.
It was so quick, but I knew what it was.
Yeah. It's stuff like that where it's like, you didn't need to, but I'm glad you did. It was like a two-second joke that nobody else got.
Oh, it was funny.
Yeah.
It was funny. like, it's a blink and you'll miss it joke, but it was great. That was good.
This thing is packed to the brim with visual gags that I probably didn't even get all on the first time.
I liked the Shining part.
Oh, in the maze.
Like the second he started limping, before they even got, he's like limping. I'm like, oh, why is that so familiar? I'm like, oh yeah, he's limping exactly the same way that he walks. In, like,
yeah, and then the theme, and the Shining theme kicked in as well.
Yeah, then they went full on, like, if you don't recognize this now, it was just like, it already kind of clicked in the slightest bit with the limp. I'm like, and then they went full on into it. I'm like, that's pretty funny. That's good. I like, you know, they're referencing other stuff. And
oh yeah, there was a ton of movie references in this.
Tons.
I can't remember as many at the moment, but there's a lot in there. I don't think the kids will get it, but for the adults, it was very entertaining. It was also just the dialogue is also really sharp too. The visual gags are great, but I think the banter is where I get a lot of endearment for characters like Nick and Judy as well. I think they're a great pairing and play off each other very well. I think Jason Bateman's Nick Wilde is very quickly I don't know how to say it, but he's just, I really like him. I really like Nick Wilde specifically, but Judy's a very good foil for him. They kind of work best together.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Wilde's the kind of character I feel like you'd make a spinoff for, and it wouldn't work as well with just him. Like, oh yeah, everybody loves Nick. Give Nick his own movie or his own show on Disney Plus, and then like without Judy to counter it, it wouldn't be, you know.
It's the Joey show.
Yeah, it's like you take Judy out because she's the straight man in that relationship,
yeah,
it doesn't, like, they work best together.
They balance each other out, which is really good.
Yeah, and I think Jennifer Goodwin and Jason Bateman, they ground the whole movie with three-dimensional voice performances.
Mm-hmm.
It's really resting on their shoulders to make this feel like not a kid's cartoon. I'm watching this movie and relating to these people like they're flesh and blood actors.
Well, I think it also helps that it's like, I don't know, a lot of kids' movies, the characters are kids. This movie, they're not kids.
No,
she's not even like the rookie cop anymore. It's a little advanced from there.
That's a good point. I didn't really consider is that most kids movies don't follow kids substitutes.
Yeah, like they'd
be animal kids in most other movies.
Yeah, and they are adults and they're dealing with adult profession troubles, adult relationship issues.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of interesting because if it is, which I do think it was made for kids with in mind, also the older audience in mind, but I think that style of movies for kids is treating kids more mature, which is something that I think has been missing from a lot of kids movies lately. Like a lot of kids movies that I've seen or seen previews for or anything like that. It's like they treat kids like they're absolutely stupid.
Yeah. Now I don't know how much kids would get out of this plot specifically, but I can see that they wrote it with layers in mind.
Mm-hmm.
When I, as an adult, watch this, I see a plot about gentrification. I see the Linksleys took a community of snakes, which you can make that a metaphor too, if you want. They took a community of reptiles. They totally changed the environment such that it was unlivable for them and forced them out for the richer, wealthier class of species to live there, to the point where everyone forgot that neighborhood used to be lived in by somebody else. So I see a plot about gentrification and reckoning with a city's really sketchy past that kind of got buried.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas kids would watch that movie and probably see, maybe not as complex, but they would say, oh, the snake people used to live here and got forced out. That's wrong. Like, you can, like, they don't necessarily know the adult words to describe it, but they know what, they can tell what's happening.
And that's the difference, is when you put layers into a kid's movie like that, like, all kids mature differently, but, like, you know, from the least of the kids who are going to be watching this to the most mature, there's something for all of them. So if they are more mature, they're going to see more in the movie.
You will get more out of it the older you are, but I think everybody can find something to enjoy here as far as the story goes. So just looking through my notes here for some more criticism. I thought that in terms of the writing, I had some problems with a few coincidences that drove the plot forward. The biggest one in my mind was when they're following the snake and Gary gets away from them. They lose the lead and then they just fall out of the tunnel. And then they're like, oh, darn it, we lost the snake. Where do we go now?
Just straight up.
Just straight up? You mean this, like the pack of matches we have or whatever? It's right here?
That's a pretty good coincidence.
There were a few others, but that was the one that stuck out most to me. I'm like, really? That was fine. I guess I have to roll with this for how they move the plot forward.
Accelerates the plot, Joe.
Yeah, but that, like, I know movies do that, but that one was especially obvious. I'm like, really? Especially in an investigative cop movie, they just stumble onto it here of all places. Especially in a movie where you're setting up all these different districts.
Where did they find the matches?
I don't remember.
Wasn't it just at the bottom of there?
I think Gary dropped his pack and he left stuff. He left like the markers and some stuff in the pack.
Oh.
Something like that. So if it wasn't in the pack, it was somewhere else. Or maybe Danny Trejo gave it to them.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I like Marshtown.
Yeah, that was cool. It was different.
That was, yeah. I like also that Michael Giacchino's score accentuated the different areas of Zootopia by using some culturally specific music. Like, in Marshtown, it sounded more Cajun-inspired, like a bayou sort of setting. Mm-hmm. In the desert area, there was some more Arabic-inspired music as well. So every place not only had a flavor of design, it also had a flavor of music as well to set the tone, which I thought was quite well done. So, yeah, what else about Zootopia 2? Yeah, one thing I thought about the action was it impressed me how well it managed to move forward its character arcs. A lot of times in movies, action is, okay, a plot stops here and we're going to do some fighting bits for a bit and then we get back to the story.
Mm-hmm.
But the story was very well integrated in the action. Basically, every sequence was showing some version of character growth or mistakes. Like, even, like, think about the very first car chase, right? Where, like, they kind of get cocky. And that's part of it, is they're not really working that well together. And they get cocky and cause a public relations disaster. Like, yes, there's an action scene. But also, we're seeing how their decisions change the plot. Or, like, in the scene where at that chalet we were just talking about on top of the mountain, where, okay, the cops are after them and they're trying to escape, but once again it's they just had a fight and they're getting separated physically, which I thought was an interesting visual representation of that. The thing is breaking in half and they're on either side of it right after this fight, and they're like physically getting separated, and they're trying to get back to each other, but the action scene is stopping them from getting back to each other and saving one another.
Something I just thought about when you were talking about it is the difference between how the other cops acted in main Zootopia versus when they were in the bayou area or they were at the Lover's Lodge. The other cops were very destructive when it wasn't their part of the city.
That's a good point.
They destroyed that whole lodge. They, you know, they were all over the place wrecking stuff in the other area. But But then they gave them trouble for doing that in Zootopia.
For destroying the statue of the founder. Yeah. The alleged founder.
Mm.
Yeah, so there was a lot of... Yeah, I just enjoyed how the action didn't stop the plot.
Mm.
The characters were still growing, and their action within the within those frantic sequences was still showing their character growth. So that is about all I have to say about Zootopia 2. Any more notes to add? Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'll just say great puns. That's what I'll leave it with.
Great puns.
I'm a fan of puns, and Zootopia does them very, very well. So, what would you rate this movie?
I had a very hard time deciding where it would fit. But I think I'm going to give it a thumbs up. I'm going to give it a good, because I think it was actually pretty good. I think it's rewatchable. I don't necessarily think it's as good as the first one. But I still don't want to classify it as like mid-tier garbage either, because it's not. To me, I don't find it like it's disposable, but it almost is. It's so close. But yeah. I'm still going to give it a good, because I think it's very enjoyable.
That's kind of where I am too, but I'm leaning more in the middle. I rated the first one pretty darn good on my 6-level scale. That's like 4 out of 6. And this one is like 3.5. So I'd still say it's worth a watch. It's like very technically well done, but it just, at least on this viewing, didn't hit me right. Or at least not as well as the first one did. I think it's definitely rewatchable too. Mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't skip out on it if I was doing a Zootopia rewatch. I'd happily watch the third one. I'm looking forward to it. We missed the post-credit scene like losers.
It's something about a feather. It's not on YouTube yet. I tried. I couldn't find it anywhere. But I saw like a snippet of it.
Which makes sense. The first one's about land animals. This one has a lot more sea animals and reptiles in it.
And there's no birds yet.
There's no birds yet.
They're doing something else.
I'm going to have a theory here on this show that they have an entire Zootopia in the clouds.
Of them.
There's an entire community.
They're even more civilized.
Yes. I imagine there's an entire community in the clouds of the bird people. That's my working theory. Oh, and then Zootopia 4 is going to be like underground creatures. They're just gonna keep expanding the world.
Sure.
Oh, and then Zootopia 5 is gonna be about aliens. They're gonna go to space.
The natural progression.
Yes.
They'll just keep doing it forever.
They're just gonna find new habitats and new creatures.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, we never saw any like proper marine life though. Like there's no like fish and whales and stuff.
Yeah, we saw like walruses.
We saw like the in-between ones that are still mammals.
That's true.
Well, I guess whales are mammals too, but we didn't see whales in like actual ocean-faring life, basically.
Just follow the trajectory of Avatar. James Cameron went to the whales and the fish next. He's going to like volcano people next. I don't know what the 4 and 5 are going to be about, but yeah.
Well, it's going to follow the other Avatar.
Yes.
They need the earthbenders next.
Yes. Well, we saw the desert people already.
No, I mean Avatar's going to follow Avatar.
Oh, okay.
So if we're following, so if Zootopia's following Avatar, then they can't follow it.
Okay. Is Judy going to be the Avatar? Collect all the elements?
She's the airbender. She's the last airbender or something. I don't know. No, the airbenders will be next. They're going to the birds. That's right. There you go.
Okay.
She
is the earthbender because, you know, they're rabbits and they're like carrot farmers. And
it's about as close as it gets.
She's from the earth.
Yeah. She's going to collect them all.
Yeah. You heard it here. Zootopia is going to become Avatar. One of the two Avatars. I don't know which yet. But it's going to become Avatar.
But Avatar's going to become Avatar.
Yes. Everything becomes Avatar.
Becomes Avatar. That's it.
All roads lead to Avatar. Where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram at jchurchtpm.
Check out thoughtplane.ca for hundreds of written posts and film reviews for free. And we hope to see you on the next close-up. Till next time.
Take care.